good things don't always come to those who wait. Commentary. If high-sounding rhetoric and promises of significant expenditure in a decade are enough to boost Australia's defences and deter our adversaries, the latest announcement by the Albanese government might be judged favourably. But they are not. Which signifies the failure of the announcement by Defence Minister Richard Marlies. Consider what Mr. Marlies announced. $330 billion defense investment program that will lift spending to 2.4% of GDP by 2034. An additional $50 billion over the next decade, and $5.7 billion over the forward estimates to modernize the Australian Defence Force with new missiles, drones, ships, and aerial defense systems. And $22.5 billion of reprioritization over the next 4 years, and $72.8 billion over a decade, representing cuts to existing defense programs to fund new capabilities. This is claimed to deliver $63 billion to $76 billion for undersea warfare, including nuclear-powered submarines and underwater drones, $51 billion to $69 billion for new surface ships, $16 billion to $21 billion for guided weapons, and $14 billion to $18 billion for missile defense. About $36 billion to $44 billion will be spent to transform the Army into an amphibious force modeled on the U.S. Marines, $28 billion to $33 billion for the Air Force, and $14 billion to $18 billion to enhance northern defense bases in Darwin, Far North Queensland, Tyndall, and the Cocos Islands. But this comes with a spate of cuts, including delaying consideration of a fourth squadron of F-35 Joint Strike Fighters, shelving the new EA-18G Growler electronic attack aircraft, delaying new missiles for the Air Force, and the cancellation of two large support vessels for the Navy. Worse, the increase in expenditure over the next 4 years is just $5.7 billion. The vast majority of the proposed expenditure occurs after the forward estimates, almost all of it in the latter part of the decade ahead. Mr. Morley said, "The best time to have acted on all this is 10 or 20 years ago, and the second best time is now. That's the reality of what we face." But his statement is accompanied by delays in the vast majority of this expenditure until years into the future. He says, "We need to make sure we have transformational capability in place so we can resist coercion and maintain our way of life," but fails to act in a timely manner. The defense statement is a pea and thimble trick. The most generous assessment of the strategy is that it remains to be seen if it can be delivered. A more realistic observation is that it is pie in the sky. The Labour government has a habit of promising expenditure that is scheduled years into the future, when or if it is still in government. Instead of raising expenditure to 3% of GDP, the Albanese government acknowledges the threat to Australia's national security but fails to match its own warnings. In speaking to the defence think tank, the Williams Foundation, Mike Pizzullo, former head of the Home Affairs Department, said he believed there was now a 10% chance of military conflict in the region before 2030. "We face, before 2030, the credible prospect of having to defend Australia during a major war in the Indo-Pacific," Mr. Pizzullo said. "Today, we need to contemplate Australia and the airspace, seas and islands that surround us, as potentially constituting a theater in a larger Indo-Pacific war. The history of warfare also demonstrates that the use of new weapons is critical to success. The cannonball, the crossbow, the tank, submarines, missiles, and now drones are historic examples of new technology making the difference. Yet missiles are being cut from defense expenditure, and there is no clear indication that Australia intends to acquire drones, which every other modern defense force has in its armory, as a matter of urgency. That's little comfort for Australians facing the greatest security threat since World War II.